where the Lord thy God shall break forth upon thy right hand, upon thy left. Therefore, open up the gates, swing wide the everlasting gates, for yea, the Lord thy God seeketh to bring forth his righteousness and his truth and his praise and his glory. Draw not thou back, slack thou not, for yea, behold, the Lord thy God shall ride upon the storm, and he shall break forth upon thee from the right hand and from the left. If thou wilt open up unto thy God, thou shalt behold his glory within thee, for yea, he seeketh forth for the vessels that will open up and will purge themselves of all the deeds of darkness and the works of unrighteousness, that he shall bring forth the purity,
glory to God,
and the glory and the joy within them. Be not therefore cast down, saith thy God, for yea, the adversary goeth about, breaking and scattering and casting down, but the Lord thy God seeketh a people who will uphold the righteousness of their God unto the very end. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tempest, that they will dare to stand in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation who seeketh to reverse the righteous ways of the God. But the Lord thy God will uphold thee if thou wilt only stand forth and show forth the righteousness of thy God in spite of the workings of the enemy. Stand thou therefore with thy lion's gird, and the Lord thy God shall reveal himself within thee. Be not therefore cast down, but rise ye up and break forth the joy of thy God, for the Lord thy God shall give thee songs in the night.
Hallelujah!
Glory to God!
For many there be, saith the Lord thy God, who seem to try to pervert the right ways of the Lord. But the Lord thy God doth give a people strength, and they shall come forth, and they shall show forth the righteousness of their God. They shall shine, yea, they shall surely shine. Look thou up and keep thine eyes upon the light post which the Lord thy God hath set before thee, and do not be ashamed, for yea, the Lord thy God shall not draw back, neither shall he withhold his hand, for yea, the time of the gathering in, yea, the time of the bringing together, yea, the time of the drawing forth, and the Lord thy God shall bring it to pass.
The Lord has put a word on my heart, and the word is confirmed by the prophecies and by word you gave for it, and I heard it all over in here, and I'm sure this is what God is saying. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 24, and we look in the 7th verse, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up. Glory to God in the heart. Glory, glory, glory. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Brethren, hallelujah. When the Lord gives me a word, I like to bite right into it. I don't go around and lay any foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. First of all, the Lord said, lift up your head. Now, in the natural, we have a natural head. Amen. And the natural head, to lift it up, we exercise certain muscles. Raise up your head. And so, we wouldn't have any problems lifting up the natural head. But every word of God is threefold, basically. Basically, God's word is on three planes. And just as the eye sees everything in a three dimension, so it is. The word of God basically is in three dimensions, and you dare not live as a Christian and see the word of God in one dimension. You see, most of the preachers preach in one dimension and they hold on to that dimension. And this brother comes and he gives the word. God gave him the word, and because it was different from the word that I saw, I said, he's wrong. Okay. Not knowing that he's on one side of the coin and I am on the other side of the coin. And it's the same coin. So actually, if instead of fighting against him, I went along with him, I would find out that my heart fits his heart and that we all both see the whole coin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is impossible for any one of us to see the whole of anything. We just not made that way. We are just not made that way, brethren. You cannot see the whole of anything. None of you here can see the whole of this guitar I'm holding. You, no matter what you do, you run around it so fast that you are still seeing a part at a time. But there's something peculiar happening here. You know what? All of us are seeing the whole of the guitar. A body.
Hallelujah.
God said, a body will I prepare him. A body. Your only hope, my only hope, is in body ministry. No one man ministry. We have grown out of that. Do still ministers to you? And he ministers to you too often, you become a Dusselite.
That's right.
You forget Jesus. And all you can see is Dussel. And your vision will be very, very limited. Until you can see the glory of God coming through a body. The dead toenails and the fingernails of the body that are so very important, and you never notice them. You cut them off and throw them away. These are very important. You never miss the water until the well is dry. And you would never miss your fingernails until it is knocked out. And you try to lift up something hard, And then you realize how important your nails were, though dead they were, though dormant they seemed to have been. They were part of a functioning body, an intrinsic part of a body that was very, very, very important. And so if we begin to appreciate one another, appreciate what the child says, just listen to him carefully, and you will find that he has an angle that you've never seen. I never forget what happened in, I was in Georgia one time, down in a place called Albany, Georgia. And one day, they had a low, a railway crossing that was pretty low, and truck men would really have to make sure that their trucks are that below that height before crossing that road. And there wasn't enough water, and this guy drove right into the thing, and his truck fastened on to the railway crossing. And here comes the police flashing lights, and the police chief's trudging around, and everybody is trying, pulling tractors, this, that, trying to pull the thing, and the only thing they could do is pull down that hole on the pass. The thing couldn't move. A little boy came up, pulled the coat of the police inspector, you know. What do you want, you know? Well, he said, why don't you let the air out of the tires? Hey, man, needless to say, that was the solution. Yeah. They let the air out the tires and my haul this semi onto that thing, and they pumped it up again, and he was off. And the boy saved the day, a little 10-year-old boy. I tell you, that police chief was ashamed. But this is the situation that other people are seeing from a different angle. Never reject a person that always sees something differently from the other people see it. The other day I was in a home and they were making a fuss about the child. The doctor said something is wrong with him because everything he sees backwards. They say he's trying to read from the right hand side of the page to the left hand side. I called the parent. I said, look here. I said, the more you minister to this child that something is wrong with him because he's reading from the right hand to the left hand side of the page, it's the more you are going to cause something to be wrong with the child. Say, how do you know that something is not wrong with you? who I'm reading from one side to the other, from the left over to the right, how do you know we are not wrong? I said, did you know that God gave man first to read from the right hand to the left? You were frightened. Yeah. I said that the mind that the child has is something that you should admire and something you should look into, because the child has a godly mind reading exactly as God taught Adam. As the Jews read from right to left, I said, you better watch out that you are not trying to make this child believe that something's wrong with him because he's reading from the right to the left. Look at the other people's angle. Begin to appreciate the body of Christ. People, appreciate people, no matter what's wrong with them, no matter what you see manifesting through them, it's some reason. If they're manifesting the devil, then you know how to stop it. Don't reject the person because he's manifesting the devil. No. Find where the leak is and stop it.
That's right.
Once the person is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and he's manifesting the devil, it means he's somehow a prisoner of another power. And the devil is accusing the person. Did you know that? Did you know that is how the devil accuses people? By causing them to do something opposite to their nature. They are beating themselves inside and you come outside beating them on top of it.
Ah, it's a terrible thing.
This is what turns people off, discourages them. When they know they're wrong, they're being beaten inside, they hate it, yet they're doing it. And you come, and instead of getting on their side and voting with the devil that is in that brother or sister, you turn around and start whipping them and say, you're no good, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Blessed be the God Almighty. The Bible said, lift up your hands. First of all, you're going to have to find out what is your head, what you must lift up. Then after you find out what, you find out how to lift up what. And so, praise God, I see in Scripture the Word of God mentioned in this many times. There is a what, there is a how, and there's a when. When are you to lift this head up? But let's understand first of all what we're talking about. Amen. Now, in the natural, the first word here is a natural word. The word head would be your natural head. This. In other words, in order to let you understand what importance a head is, you're going to have one. Okay? So God gave you a head. Then when he begins to talk about lift up your head, you have a good idea of how important a thing it is not to look down but to look up. Now, lift up your head, O ye gates. The first lifting up you're thinking about is your natural head. So since you understand the natural word, now I take you to the spiritual word, because you're spiritual people. Lift up your spiritual head. It means Christ. I'm going to lift up your spiritual head. The next, number two, is Christ. But there is a still something more than that. A greater thing. If you are a temple, you are a temple, you must have a gate. So your temple then would be your spirit, your soul, your body. Your body has a head, therefore your soul must have a head. And your spiritual must have a head. Your spiritual head is Christ. Second, you know what your natural head is. And your soul head is your mind.
Can you sit in?
Amen. Hear it. So when God said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Because the King of Glory wants to come in.
Hallelujah.
He's talking about an entrance that is to be made within your being. Amen. Hallelujah. And your spiritual being must be revitalized, must be made alive by the entrance of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, first of all, we understand that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you did open a gate. A door was open. And this door was open to let the Holy Ghost into your spirit. And you ask me the question, Brother Dusil, how do I know for sure that the Holy Ghost went into my spirit and not into my soul or into my body? Because some people, you know, are trying to get the Holy Ghost in their body. They have to receive the Holy Ghost, and they're trying to get the Holy Ghost in their body, and they are seeking for some great experience in the body, and they are looking to speak in tongues, and they speak in tongues. Many people speak in tongues never had the Holy Ghost. because they were looking for tongues, they received tongues. But blessed be to God, we are not of that class.
No.
I know some people who spoke in tongues, never received the Holy Ghost when they spoke, but they continued speaking until the Holy Ghost came in. For if they believed they got him afterwards. And the Holy Ghost never made them a bit wiser. But the glory of receiving the Spirit, the glory of receiving the Holy Ghost, is so glorious, it's so precious, it's so marvelous. You call this? So, bless his holy name. And so we see that his Spirit, I'm quoting a scripture now, his Spirit, help me, bear it witness with what?
Our
Spirit. That we are the children of God. Hallelujah. So, the first part of us that was born again was our Spirit.
Amen.
You see, it's strange you say you are born again because you received Jesus. But that second birth which you received by accepting the blood of Jesus and the life you got from God was in your soul. It was a bringing to life. You were dead. And yet the soul is not yet birthed in Christ. In other words, you are, God promised to make you in his image and in his likeness. You were made in his image, and we need to be made in his likeness. So our souls came alive only to command life into our being so that we might come forth in Christ. So the birth process is still going on in the soul. But the first part of your being that was made complete, perfect, as God is perfect in heaven, is your Spirit. You know why? You want to prove it? Everything I say, you can prove it. You get in the Spirit and tell me when you're in the Spirit, you can't be wrong. You can't be wrong while you're in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't do anything wrong in the Spirit. Anything you do wrong is you, not the Spirit. So, here we are. We have a hiding place. We have a place of deliverance. Brethren, you know what I believe? I believe if you're running head on into an accident and you get in the Spirit, an accident is averted somehow. You are not touched. That's what I believe. I believe the greatest thing that we could learn to do is to get in the Spirit on a short notice.
Amen. That is right.
Hallelujah. I tell you what happened to me. I mean, this is a weird story. Maybe I shouldn't tell. One night, I was in a place where sorcerers were coming against me. And they sent some devil at me. And I suddenly, when I was going to step into my bed, and I look around, and I was looking through the 9 inches wall, brick wall, looking clean through it like a plate glass. I knew something had happened, that I had been suddenly lifted up into a place, spiritual place where I could see through the wall. So I went, stood up, begin to examine everything outside to make sure, you know, I knew I wasn't dreaming, I didn't go to bed yet, I was just about stepping into bed. So I began to examine the things because I knew something was going to happen. Suddenly I saw a tall man, a creature like a man, step into the yard and begin to look around like he was hunting for something. And I felt that I should jump on him. And I jumped in the Spirit to speak to him, to rebuke him in the name of the Lord. And he came through the wall like greased lightning, and he hit me, knocked me clean over on the bed, and he held me with a power, but I couldn't move a nerve in my body. But my mind was totally free, and as he held me, the first thing to do was to struggle. And as I was about to struggle, I saw Jesus. Oh, I mean, those eyes, every time I see Jesus, it is eyes that attract me. And he came right down to the bed. He said, don't struggle. He said, it's not a natural strategy. And that just gave me the victory. I mean, I just laughed. And the thing was on top of me, choking the life out of me. And immediately, I began to think of the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes. There's nothing that put me in the spirit quicker than to think of the blood dripping from the cross. Let me tell you something, brethren. As a young man, for hours and hours, I would sit down and think of every detail of the crucifixion. I thought of what he was like. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. And I would think out his face, how the Roman soldier sucked him with his big fists, and the black and blue, and how his face was twisted and swollen, you see, and how he was beaten with the cat o' nine. I used to work in the courthouse, and in our country, that when people do certain things like rape and all that, they beat them with a cat o' nine, and the judge orders so many lashes from the cat o' nine. And let me tell you something, some of those men don't live after they are beaten with the cat o' nine. That thing is a little thong with nine tails, and each tail has a bump of a piece of lead on it. And any one of you who might have been in the street and know what street fighting gave, men hit you with a piece of metal covered over with lead. Lead covered over with leather. And they hit you with bam. Days after, your whole body just seizes up with the bruised blood inside. It doesn't show outside, it batters in. And this is what they do. And when they whip those men, the doctor has to test them. Every blow they get, the doctor has to test them. Amen. And the condition is terrible to see a man beaten. As I say, sometimes after they are beaten, they go with their backs hunched as long as they live. They never straighten up again. And this, I think of Jesus being beaten with those cat o' nine tails, because the same Roman whip that was used in those days that they use now. And I think of Jesus Christ in every phase and facet of the crucifixion. I would sit down and think of how the scripture said he was marred, his visage, that's his face, was marred more than any man. All those pretty pictures you have on the wall, I hope you go and tear them down and dump them and burn them. They're not Jesus Christ, they're nine of the Antichrist. And I'm begging you, for God's sake, don't keep them, because they will bring evil spirits into your house. Those pictures are nine of. If you doubt me, you go take any one of these Greek mythological books, look at the pictures, and put on the hair and them just as they have it, and you'll see what you're looking at, what you have in your house. This picture was adopted from the Greeks by the Roman church. Mm-hmm. You see, and if you study and you read enough, you'll know what you have in your house. Anyhow, I don't want to go too far with that. But what I'm saying is that I could sit down for hours and see this picture. And so when I was knocked down on this bed, immediately that Jesus said that to me, I began to visualize the cross. And let me tell you, it became a reality right there. Oh, in a few minutes that I had, while my breath was locked off and every nerve in my body was dead, just held with a force that I couldn't move, there I was looking at the cross and rejoiced. Mm-hmm. And I saw one drop of blood drop from his right hand tip, and I said, with his stripes we are healed. And I felt a surge of peace. And I saw another blood drop from the left hand. And I said, thank God. Hallelujah. That is enough to deliver the whole world. Hallelujah. And the third drop dropped right in my face. I didn't expect it. So apparently, my thinking turned into a reality, a real vision. And my whole body convulsed and shouted, Jesus! And the thing was thrown clean off me. And the victory was mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah! In Revelation 7, the scripture said, I'm a Michael and his angels, you know, and they finally cast Satan out of the human realm. And when he said, now is come salvation and glory and power and the kingdom of our God and his Christ. And the angels, talking one with another, said they overcame you by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Amen! Don't let them take the blood away from you. They are trying now. Even some end time preachers are preaching against the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is not a sticky substance. The blood of Jesus Christ is not a red sticky substance. I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is the very life force of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We were in Illinois. And a sister driving down the road made an accident, ran into something, and her car crashed and pushed in the steering wheel into her chest, and something went into her knee, busted the knee in three pieces, and the shin bone split down. Amen. She came to the meeting with much opposition. Oh, they want to cut that leg off. They want to put a piece of steel cap on top of it and a bolt through her knee. And all manner of plans the doctors had for her. That's a carnal mind, brother. That's a natural mind. But a voice spoke to her and said, don't let them do it. She said, well, I won't let you do it. The doctor said, you're an idiot. Get out of this hospital. You're going to die like a dog. You can't survive. She got out. She was discouraged because everybody around her was discouraging her. And she sure she heard God say, come out. And so she came to the meeting with that discouragement one evening. We lay hands on the knee, pray for it. We started shouting and jumping around. We felt good. God was blessing. She got up and started jumping around and shouting with the knee. And blessed be the God Almighty. They find that the opposition got so strong that they sent her back to the doctor for an x-ray. No broken bones. Amen. Couldn't find. The first x-ray picture was a lie. Hallelujah. Amen. The first x-ray picture was a lie. The pain she felt in her knee was a lie. The broken bone was a lie. Because it was all whole, never even patched. It didn't show the marks of a workman. Hallelujah. You know, no patching. She was just whole. Hallelujah. What happened to her? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Came from the body. Life and energy.
Man.
God came from the body of Christ. Oh. Into her body. Brought forth the desire for
yes.
Glory to God. God, who once created, is still doing the same.
Amen.
Amen. You believe it. Because the more we believe, as our faith begins to grow, as we begin to come more and more into understanding our Father. Amen. He said, great works shall ye do. Than what Jesus did.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see the blood of Jesus Christ, therefore, is an energy and a life of God that is still flowing through the body of Jesus Christ. Just as your natural blood flows through your natural body, so it is the life of God flows through the body.
Hallelujah.
Brother, the natural word, blood. Blood. The why God gives us the natural world is because we are natural. We were natural first before we became spiritual. So we can understand the basic meaning of natural things, then we can relate them to their counterpart in the spirit.
Yes.
Because it was the spirit that created these natural things. And the spirit would never create a natural thing contrary to its spiritual counterpart. Because the natural things are to teach us. Hallelujah. A spirit, you are things that you cannot see. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads. Amen. Lift up your heads, he said. Now he's thinking of a gate with a head. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. So we see that the first lifting up of the head was to let the Spirit of God come into your spirit. But here again he's speaking to you. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. What is he talking about? First of all, you are not the spirit. You are not the body. You are the soul. Get it? But you have a spirit. And that spirit keeps you in contact with heaven. Without the spirit, you have no heaven consciousness. You would be unconscious of a heaven, of a spiritual thing. But what made you heaven conscious was that spirit you had that was always pulling you back, pulling you up, giving you a dream. You didn't care about dream, you run in your merry way down. See, you have a dream. Why did I have that dream? You know, a spiritual thing that is grasping at you, pulling you back, restraining you, calling you to your higher self. Amen. You have a body that keeps you in contact with physical things. You lose that body, you have no more interest on you.
Hallelujah.
The body is what keeps us in contact with natural physical things and make them real to us. Outside of that, this would be nothing. This, you look at that chair, you look through it, you see a bundle of molecules. It wouldn't have any value to you. You know that you could just speak a word and smother it, gone into gases. You know what the chair is when you look at it. You look at the piano, and some people would work hard to get a piano. You love the thing, you want one, you know. A spirit comes and looks at the piano. He sees a bundle of atoms held together by cohesive forces, and he would just see the truth of the whole piano, what it is. Hallelujah! Follow me? Therefore, God is speaking to a soul. Now, soul is spirit. You hear me? You are really a spirit. You are not a body. You have a body, and this body changed you, restrict you, hold you here. And God said he changed you for a purpose. Do you know that scripture, anybody? You turn your Bibles with me to Romans 8. And let me show you a scripture which said God deliberately chained you, made you a prisoner in that body because he had a hope. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Amen. It's like you've given a man a hurdle to jump over. You want him to exercise himself. You want him to put up an effort. You want him to jump the hurdle. Hallelujah. Because you know in his jumping the hurdle, he's going to develop muscles. Hallelujah. That one day will save his life. But he doesn't know about what's down the road. He only knows that he has to jump over a wretched hurdle. You see, and so God subjected you to this body, to the natural thing, to the carnal mind, in hope that you will break loose. Hallelujah. That you will break loose, that you will break the carnal mind, that you will conquer the physical world, that you will overcome the natural element, that you will get on top of the devil and bind him and chain him and stop sin and stop evil once and for all and forever.
Amen.
This is God's hope.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God, he chained me. Thank God for the chain. For if God hope that I will do it, then I'm going to do exactly that. For God knows me. God knows you more than you know yourself. God created this generation in his mind. Do you know that? You don't know how many thousand or million years you were in the mind of God. God planned you. God set a breeding program and process that would produce you at the end of the time.
Oh,
hallelujah. God saw you. Amen. The man David said, even before my substance was created, he saw me in the lowest parts of the earth. You know what he was talking about? When the plant food out there that made the molecules and the flesh and the bone that create this physical being were yet in their infant stage in the earth. The plants didn't even suck them up yet to produce fruit for my mother to eat. To bring forth a child. God saw me and he counted my members.
Hallelujah.
And God sat down and laughed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God looked at Easy and he laughed. Hallelujah. Amen. And he looked at the other one over there and he smiled and he said, boy, I'm going to let loose an army in the end of time that's going to bring down the devil.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God been counting on you long and through all the ages past. If you read in Colossians, hallelujah, where the Lord says that we were created in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So he said, now lift up your heads, holy gates. He's talking about lifting up your mind. He's saying, get your mind out of the dump, out of the natural, carnal, physical realm, because it is this mind that is going to create the heavens and bring this earth into the kingdom of God. You see, we many times read that the kingdom of God is within you. In the 17th chapter of Luke and verse 20, we read that the kingdom of God is within you. But if there's a kingdom in you, there must be one up there. For where did the kingdom come from in you? It must have come from something out there. It's like the people saying there's no Christ out there. We are the only Christ. We're going to be manifested in earth. And we are going to be just Jesus Christ. And there, the Lord Jesus won't ever come back to me in his natural self. I said, brother, if then there's no Jesus over there, there's only a Jesus in my brother, and in you, and in me. Where did the Jesus in me come from? For when I was not, when I had no Jesus, there was a Jesus out there pleading for the to bring Jesus with him.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you're going to make a deduction, you might as well make a reasonable one. Hallelujah. But if there's only Jesus in me, then there's none out there. For the one out, it is the one out there, that there's one out there, I should say. For it is the one out there that produced Jesus in me.
That's right.
And before I was, before you were, before there was a church, there had to be a Jesus out there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he shall forever remain.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We won't abide him. Glory to God in the highest. So let me put the next thing on the board here, which I'm sure I've forgotten something. Amen. No. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, that's what I'm talking about. So let me put the next thing on the board here, which I'm sure I've forgotten something. Amen. No. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, that's what I'm talking about. So, God is saying now that you must lift up your heads. Now, we have established that the head is the mind. The soul has four areas. The first area of the soul is the mind. Then we have the emotions, and we have the will, and we have the desires. But all this is controlled by the head. So all you need to do is to lift up your head. Now, I get that off the board, and I give you another picture. Where are you going to lift it to? What's the meaning of lifting up your head? Here you are. That is the heavenlies. From the heavenlies come the lights and the beam and the glory of God. And here we are, the earth. I draw an earth here. All right. But below the earth, there's another realm. And this we call the realm of darkness and evil. Now, when Adam fell, the earth fell within the grasp of the realm of evil and darkness. So that everything natural, everything physical, everything basically earthly and earthy is in the realm of the devil. So the devil rules your mind if your mind is in this realm. But if your mind is lifted above this realm, into the heavenly, then the devil has no power over your thoughts. Truth is, he does not even know what you're thinking. Here, let me tell you another story. Hallelujah. It could be said of me that I must have had a lot of battles with devils. But what I tell you is truth. It's so true. You know, I just have no defense of truth, right? This night, I walked like 30 miles going home from a service. And I was just praising God and walking on through the night. And I came to a very thick wood, nearing home, it was near morning. And I heard somebody behind me. I hid around the tree, around the rock. Then I discovered that it wasn't a human being. So I stepped from out the rock and said, "Devil, follow me home." I didn't know it was a devil. I said, "I thought it was a man, but since it's a devil, you follow me home." So I went home with the full knowledge that there was a devil walking behind me. Somehow God had taken hold of my mind. Because the things that I did next, I just didn't know why I did it. A powerful desire to find out what the devil is. To find out what is it, really. When you talk about the spirit, I wanted to know what substance am I dealing with. I wasn't afraid of anything in the creation. For it's my God that created all things. And so I'm in my God, and nothing can harm me. But I want tonight desperately to examine this thing, to feel it, to see it, to touch it, to know of the truth what it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where that desire came from so strong, but I wanted it with all my heart. I rushed into my house, tore my clothes off, put on my pajama, jumped into bed, and pretended to be asleep and started to snore. He came through the door cried on the hinges, and that taught me one lesson. The second lesson I have, he stood beside my bed, the floor cried. Where he stood up, he had weight. The turn left me that God told me is going to jump right in mine, on top of me and stretch himself on me. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew that. So I put my hands like this to catch him. And I pretended to be asleep. I said, now if this devil can read my mind, he will know that I'm not asleep. I'm only pretending. But if he can't read my mind, I'll find out tonight. So in any event, I'm going to find out. So I was there putting on snore. And I'm, you know, he was there like an idiot. Over me, examined. I could do everything to keep the snoring going and to make it real. Then finally he was satisfied that I was asleep. And he jumped on top of me. And I was just praising God because that proved to me he didn't know what was in my mind. And I kept on pretending to be still asleep. You know, and he went up. And he started to vibrate on top of me like a kitten or like some powerful energy. It was energy. And he was stretching himself over me and he was bringing up his face into my face and his legs. I could feel him stretching over my body. And he was expanding himself out to my side. And when he came out and touched my hands, I felt like an electrical charge. My hand was definitely in an electrical field because it was running up in my elbow and cramping the strength in my elbow. And then I cried in the name of Jesus, I got you. And when I grabbed the thing, he was so frightened. Now talk about devils being frightened. I didn't know a devil could be frightened. So I took him by surprise. He didn't know, he thought I was asleep. And when I grabbed him, he twitched and pushed me back out. And what my hand went into was a big thing like a ball of feathers, softer than cotton. But it had power, it had force. It had energy and it was driving back my hand out. And when he came back out here, I said in the name of Jesus by his blood. And I got him down back again gradually. And finally locked my hand with him and tell him God has reserved him unto the lake of fire. And he got out of my hand and I heard him with my ears curse in the corner of the room and told me his name. Now brethren, I've learned many things from that and I won't go through it. We can discuss that later. But one of the things that I learned there that night, that was the devil did not know what I was thinking. And that perplexed me. So I went to God. I said, don't understand it, Lord. Why didn't this devil know I was deceiving him? Why didn't he know that I had deliberately set a trap for him? I wanted to catch him. I wanted to feed him. Why didn't he know? And why is it he knows what I'm thinking sometimes? Because how could he tempt me if he didn't know what I was thinking? God said that's the key to it. He said whenever your mind is dumb below a certain level in the spirit, the devil, you are in his territory. He thinks of every thought you think. He can control your thoughts. He can discourage you. He can upset you. He can beat you. He can do everything with you while your mind is below this level.
I believe that.
Hallelujah. He said, if you want to beat the devil, lift your mind.
Hallelujah.
Lift up your head. Oh, ye gates.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, if you want to beat the devil, lift your mind up. The other night, I was thinking, planning how I'm going to fix up my home when I go home and the different materials I'm going to use. And I was there for about 2 hours, lying on my back instead of sleeping, thinking how I'm going to do the country work and every other thing. And God came and told me, ha 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 ha, too long. Get out of that.
Yeah.
I knew the devil was coming. I started to think of the cross. Amen. And if you are too much in the natural, you don't have to commit any sin to be taken by the devil. You just have to stay natural. Think about your work all day. When evening comes, you're still thinking about your work. When you're going to bed at night, you're still thinking about your work. He gets right into it. He discourages you. He upsets you. He deceives you. He turns your side. And you find that you cannot find your spiritual nature when you're ready for it. Glory to God in the heart. Amen. Now there is a time in the history of the world when all the Christians are going to have to lift up their heads at the same time. And I want to prove this to you. Turn your Bibles around to Luke. Hallelujah. Luke 21. Hallelujah. And Jesus was talking to the disciples about many things. They asked him three questions, and he was answering the three questions. But the answer to the question which pertains to our time is right here in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Those are natural words. Let me put it into spiritual thoughts for you. There shall be signs in the glory of God that we receive the light from the sun, the mind of Christ which comes on us. You will see certain signs in the mind of Christ. In other words, the power that we are receiving is going to increase. There will be signs in the church system. And there will be signs in among the sons of God, the stars. I'm not saying that this doesn't have a natural meaning. I'm not dealing with the natural meaning, no. That's all. And upon the earth, in the carnal man, there will be distress of nations. In the carnal realm, you can look for an atomic war. You hear me? You can begin to prepare now. Do you know why God created the idea in men's hearts at this time to go out and farm? There's a lot of falseness going on. But anywhere you see a lot of falseness going on, there is a truth somewhere. Yes. And the devil is trying to cloud up the truth with falseness. God is trying to get the people out of the cities into rural places where they can find subsistence without depending on Babylon. But more than that, it's not for the natural, it's for the spiritual. God tell me that the people are not strong enough as they are involved with the natural bread to withstand the force of the enemy that is coming upon the earth. And when you are in a place where you can pray together, where you can get together in God, and then you see the things happening, he said that's going to turn everybody's heart to God. But if you get caught in the middle of it, it's all confusion. Can you imagine an atom bomb dropping in San Francisco or Los Angeles tonight? What condition would the Christians be in if they even there? You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying that God is speaking to his people now, and don't listen to me and go by anything that I say. Whatever I say must never cause you to go into action. What must cause you to go into action is what you fear among yourselves from the Lord. Yeah. And there's no unilateral action. Nobody's going to run off and say, I'm going to save my skin. Because no God is going to be saving Easy and his family and even the rest of people.
That's right.
God's going to speak to his people.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go on. He said, now lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And we see that the lifting up of the head is the moving from out of the carnal, natural realm to keep your mind in the spiritual realm, in the realm of light, for this is where your nature will find its fulfillment, and this is where God will be able to help you. Praise God. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Now, what does he mean by gates? You see, your mind is the entering in of your soul. This is where Christ enters in through the eastern gate.
Hallelujah.
Of the temple. The king, once a year, would come to the eastern gate, and they said, oh, the king coming. And the eastern gate is always described in scripture as the mind of Christ, where the sun comes from.
Hallelujah.
Follow me. Many scriptures come to me right away. I'm going to name some, not read them. I name Ezekiel chapter 9, speaking of somebody coming from the east. I speak of Revelation chapter 7, and a fifth angel rising up from the east with a message. Wait, stay. Don't destroy the earth. Don't destroy the carnal man. Don't destroy the green things, the Christian. Don't destroy the grass, the low-down Christian. Amen. Don't destroy the trees, the high-up Christians. Don't destroy the earth, the carnal man, until we have sealed the servants of God in their minds.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen. This is what is happening. And many are called to the wedding feast, and they say, I've got my cattle to look after. I've got a wife to just marry. I've got a new church over here. And I have a group over there. And I have something going over here for the Lord. I have no time to come to the wedding feast.
Oh, Jesus.
My God.
Jesus.
We are missing it right in the midst of it. Five wise virgins, the five foolish virgins. Only one difference was with those people is that one had the thing in their soul nature, their vessels, and the other one only had it in their lamps. Not burned out. There was nothing to stand in the midnight hour. It wouldn't matter. Normally it wouldn't matter. But when midnight comes, it matters. Don't you see? Amen. He said, lift up your heads. In other words, stop thinking about earthly things. He said that the thorns grew up and choked them. Turn your Bibles with me. Revelation 4. I'm going to close on that one. I said, you asked me a question. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 1, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. In Ezekiel, the same picture was shown. Ezekiel chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 6, the same picture was seen. Hallelujah. But he wasn't sitting on the throne. It was a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and the throne was above. Here we see the four beasts again, and the throne is there, and he came down in the midst of the throne. A door was opened in heaven. Let me tell you a secret. Your soul is God's heaven. And the door is closed. And he's knocking at the door. Who is this king? Who is it out there? Who is at my door? who is knocking at my door may find the Songs of Solomon for me, and find where the beloved, I think it's verse chapter 4 somewhere, find it for me, where he knocked at the door. And she said she couldn't get up. And he kept knocking. Look, there is an opening in your mind that is to be opened to God that is not yet open. And God said, lift up your head. You have been looking down on dirt too long. You've been looking down at the natural world too long. You've been believing in the doctors too long. You've been believing in the natural process too long. Oh, God's time up.
True.
Begin to look up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The spiritual process.
Amen.
As your life, there's no hope in the natural.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If there was a hope in my time, you young people, there's none. You hear me? I had a few years before me to do my thing. You don't have any. It is God's time. God saying, stop looking down.
Hallelujah.
Look up.
Hallelujah.
And lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh. For the King of Glory wants to come in now. He wants to sit on his throne. Your heart is the throne of God. Your mind is the gate. Are you going to open it? Or are you going to keep it clammed up, closed up? How do you open up your mind? You open your mind by thinking on heavenly things. Once, I couldn't read my Bible. Every time I start reading the Bible, I fall asleep. It wasn't interesting enough to me. I was in trouble. I went to God. I said, what's wrong? What can I do? I said, just can't read the thing. God said, you like to read storybooks, don't you? I read Zane Grey, everyone. I read Shakespeare, everyone. I read all the classics in the English language that I could put my hands on. Hallelujah. I read everything. I read all the comics. And now, God said, you like a good story? I said, yes, Lord. He said, well, all right. Turn to the story of Samson and read it. And just read it through like how you read storybooks. I said, after you read it through, you start to think, why was it put in the Bible? What spiritual meaning did it have? Why God put it in the Bible? And brother, I've been thinking about that thing for the past 25 years. And every day I get a new revelation. Then I found Samson's life divided in two. One, Samson was the type of the church, the type of Christ first, when he killed the lion, when he married a wife, when he came down from Jerusalem, down into Timnah, to get a wife. Amen. And his companions took away his wife. Not his enemies, his friends, the best man took his wife. He had 2 years to come back to her. 2,000 years. Jesus Christ had his wife come back. The pastors of the church take over the wife. Call the wife of God my wife. Yeah, I heard it with my own ears. Man got up and said, my wife, I love you. Talking to the church. They say now the ministry is the husband of the church. So when Paul said, I have espoused you unto one husband, even Christ.
Hallelujah.
Paul must have made a mistake. False Christ and false prophets. That's what we have deceiving as many as they can. Hallelujah. And if your heart is not pure, they get you to. For you're going to want some of that, you know. You want to be the boss in God's business. You want a wife, and you didn't want to marry one. You just want to take the church as your wife.
Right.
Yes. I'm going to think about Samson while I'm working in bed, and all of a sudden, boom, whoo, man, so let me go back and read that thing. You know, I read it. I see it's true. So I could kill a lion and rent him from top to bottom. Jesus Christ tore the devil in two at Calvary and would have finished with him if we didn't heal the deadly wound with our sinfulness. He turned the whole process backwards. The church capitulated to the devil and gave him the kingdom. You see, he took it away from Adam. Jesus came to take it away from him and gave it to us. We turn around back and give it to him. That's what the Catholic Church did. Deadly wound is healed. And a great beast changed his whole form in a deceptive church form to bring forth his nature in the end time. But we can't talk particularly about that tonight. Because we see one thing before us. God saying, now is the time to lift up your head. He said, the King of glory shall come in. We want to ask ourselves a question. Why did he say the King of glory? What glory is he talking about? We see in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1, we won't read it. The woman clothed with the sun, that is the glory of God from the east, clothed, covered her nakedness, became her righteousness. That is the church. We see Jesus Christ in the John chapter 17 and verse 5. Jesus said to the Father, Father, I've done all the work you have given me to do. Verse 5. He said, now give me the glory that you and I have from before the foundation of the world. What was he talking about? Before God made you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost sat down together and made a plan. And they saw you. They saw the glory. You understand what they saw? They saw something. And they don't believe this. They believe what they saw.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, our eyes are pinned on to the flesh, to the carnal weaknesses, to the sufferings. We are pinned, our eyes are looking down. God's looking up.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We don't know what we're going to be like, but at least the Bible gives us an idea. Let's turn our Bibles around to chapter 19 of Revelation, and we see one of the men here in his glory. Not the fullness of him. He's just a little part of it. And what happened here in chapter 19 and in verse 9, he said, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The man he saw was a Christian.
Yeah.
That was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he was so glorious and so powerful that he thought it was Jesus.
Mm.
Let's see if we can find the description of the person. Help me search here now. He said, and after these things I heard a voice of the meek say, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor unto the God, true and righteous. And the voice came out of the throne. I'm looking for, there is a description here of the angel that spoke to him. I think it is in chapter 18 and verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. There's a slight description of what one saint looked like. Yes. And when he had finished testifying to John, John bowed down to worship. He was sure it was God. He said, no, I am one of your brothers, saved by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then if you turn around to the 22nd chapter, somebody might say, oh, those are only those who saved since Jesus. Yeah. But the prophets are like that too. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. Some of our stupid brethren are talking about worshiping the Christ within one another. Don't let those deceiving spirits come here. Don't let them preach from your pulpit. Don't let them tell you God anything at all. God said, if you partake of their evil doctrine, you are also partaking of their sins. And to check that out with me, you just look on 2 John, verse 10. See, they are saying that you must worship the Christ in each other. What about the Christ in these angels? What about the Christ in the angels? They're talking, no.
Amen.
Worship God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. See, so don't let anybody tell you any nonsense about worshiping the Christ in your brother. Hallelujah. And if you check upon this angel, you will find that this angel again was another mighty angel who spoke here with glory showing forth through him. And so praise be to God. He said, lift up your head. Let me translate it in ordinary, everyday language. Stop thinking about world things.
Amen.
Start thinking about Christ. Give a sacrifice of praise to God when you don't feel good, when you don't feel to praise God, when you feel wretched. Sacrifice it. Praise Him. You understand? When God is saying, lift up your head. You have to practice how to lift up your head. Women, put on records with the Bible in your house. Change the atmosphere of your house. Drive every devil from out of your dwelling place.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put on a tape recorder with the Word of God. Just let it blaze till you're tired to hear it.
Glory.
The devils will be tired to hear it too. Anytime you start feeling tired to hear it, anytime you see the children come on, switch it off. You must say, praise God, it's getting someplace. Switch it on. That's the game we use to play with our boys. We put on those records, we put on 7 of them one time on the record player. And they begin to play. And man, the little boys get sick and tired of it. They switch it off. Daddy comes along, Come back and switch it off. Come back and switch it off. I have as much patience as they. Finally they give up. Well, you know what? Sometimes I see him working, doing, fixing his car, and what's he singing? The very tune that he hated.
Yeah.
The world is brainwashing them.
Yes.
Why can't we do something about that? When they come home, let them hear God. Nobody paid any attention. Turn on that tape recorder and let them. Do you have the Bible on tapes? If you don't have it, send to the Omega message and ask them to send you a copy of the New Testament on tape. Put it on that tape recorder and let the tape recorder let loose with it. In the house, while everybody about their business, walking in and out, not noticing. But sooner or later, they're going to turn up with a verse that they didn't know where they got it from. These are ways. Lift up your head, help yourself, preacher. Because the world is against us. Help yourself. Because your soul, your mind, is the gates of God. And he said, gates of heaven. God bless you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, that scripture. Yes, I want it. The Songs of Solomon. That's a beautiful thing. God brought it to me. Yes.
It's 5:2, but I lost it when it came forth in tongues. I just want to bring this before you.
Please do, quickly.
When the word came forth in tongues, it was a passage of scripture that was coming forth, and part of it I heard, awake therefore, and in...
Awake thou that sleepest.
No, it's an 8, you find it. I found it in Ephesians 5.
Yes.
And I read...
Let's just get it. Ephesians 5, what?
Verse 14.
Ephesians 5, verse 14. That was the interpretation of the word which came forth in tongues. Yeah. Go ahead.
And it says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And coming down, it was telling about the... it's from verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Bless
for
God.
It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Blessed be to God Almighty. Amen. Listen, sister, brethren, I have known maybes to have the strong gift of interpretation of tongues, and she doesn't guess, she hears it. She sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you better believe that what came forth was exactly that. Yes, ma'am.
I have another verification. Before the service started tonight, before you drew your diagrams on the board, when I closed my eyes, I saw the X, and you put the X over the carnal mind.
Yes. Praise God. Amen. This is what we mean by body ministry. Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is what we mean. The whole body testifies and speaks and comes alive where the word is coming from, the heavenlies. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for this chapter. Let's say it over again. It's Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 9 to verse 14. And this is the word God spoke in tongues. The brethren who get the tape will be able to participate in the service. Praise God. Now let's go and close. I mean, I am here too long now. Let's get back to that Songs of Solomon. I like to do everything the Lord show in a message. And If it wasn't for human weaknesses, I might have got the chapter and verse. But bless God, it's nice for somebody else to get it. Huh? We are all participating. Thank you, Jesus. No one man show. Amen. God has to hold me, you know, that I don't take over the show. Amen. That's true to me. Bless God. Amen. What was the verse?
Chapter 5, verse 2.
I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. You hear a voice knocking? Hallelujah. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with the dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. That's the beloved speaking now. Shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the door, the lock. I opened to my beloved, too late. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Go home and read the rest.
Hallelujah.
Let the Spirit of God speak to you.
Jesus.
Oh, glory to his holy name.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I would say to my people this night, go not from this place and say in your heart, it is just another word I've heard. Say, and I say unto you this night, ponder upon the things that you have heard. For my people, you shall need them in the days to come. What I have said this night through my servant, I say to you, do not take lightly, for you shall be held accountable.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah.